It's a privilege to be here. We always say we get to go to church, and honestly, it's a privilege to be here with all of you, with friends, with family, with wife and kids, with whoever. And if you don't know anybody here, my name is Herman, and now you know me. So welcome. This is a good morning of celebration. If you're wondering why I look so ridiculous, my wife dressed me this morning. So. Our team is serving today with coffee and tea and cleaning and everything, so we just said we're going to change it up and look ridiculous to try and make it fun. So, we are going through a series of parables taught by Jesus, and we are in the theme of a scandalous reversal. So, my message today, I had to give it a title just for fun, and it's The Right Invitation to the Wrong Crowd. That's my message. So if you want a page to Luke 14, we're going to look at verse 12 to 24. So it will be up on the screen there. And let's read together Luke 14, the parable of the great banquet. This is not to be confused with the other parable of the wedding garment. This is not that one where the guy without the garment gets kicked out. Different parable. So he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant and said to those who've been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought a 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to the master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges. Compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Jesus, I pray this morning that your word will touch our hearts. I pray that you prepare the soil in which these seeds go and be planted. And I pray that you would be glorified. I ask that we will leave changed this place, that you will change our hearts, you will change destinies today, and that we will honor you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, on the surface, this parable did not seem to have a lot of depth for me, and I scanned it, and I think I get the message here. The guys missed the invitation. And if we have to summarize it, this great invitation to come to the feast was rejected by the elected guests. So they were replaced by the misfits of society. And today I'm going to make it really easy for you to remember. I've got 4 points and they all start with an R. And in South Africa, when you're a little kid, you're growing up, you learn how to say R properly, and it's R. So it's like learning how to ride a bike and eat with a knife and fork. You say, "Rrr." Not every kid learns it, but in the end, most can do it. So we've got the request, and we've got the rejection, and we've got the replacement, and we've got the repercussions. We're going to look at those 4 things. Tradition was in those days that there would always be a double invitation in the Jewish community. And you would tell people, "I'm going to do this plan. I'm making a big banquet, or my daughter's getting married. And prepare yourself, be ready." And then you go and you get the meal done, you get the banquet in place. And at the time when everything's ready, you send the second invitation. You say, "Guys, come in, we're going now." So that was the meaning of what's happening here. Now if we look at the nation of Israel, we know that God has prepared them for thousands and thousands of years for the coming of their Messiah. We see in Genesis fingerprints of this Messiah coming. We see with the fall how the word says that through your seed they will crush the serpent. We see with the ark and with Noah that the whole life on earth, breathing life, was saved through this vessel, the ark, that would symbolize Jesus. We see with the Exodus out of Egypt that there's the blood of the lamb that was put on the posts, and that was the sign that the angel would pass and they would be redeemed. We've seen the sin offerings, how Jesus taught them to make a sin offering for their sins. It's in the prophecies. It's in the scriptures. If we look at Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, the virgin shall conceive a son, and for unto us a son is born. I think Isaiah said that in his little school play, like just like the book Isaiah was saying, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. It's an awesome prophecy that was foretelling that Jesus is coming. God told Abraham that through you all nations will be blessed. All families on earth will be blessed through you. And your lineage, Jesus, will be born. The invitation was out. The first invitation. Jesus is coming, the King of the Jews. Now, the other thing with an invitation like this is the banquet needs preparation. So if you hold a big feast, if it's going to be a good one, animals will be killed. We will eat some meat. There will be money and time spent, energy put in. The harvest will come in and you will make an offering to your friends, your family, of this harvest that you're coming in. There's a cost associated with this banquet. And the thing is, if the feast is not shared and enjoyed, it will go to waste. If we do not show up and enjoy God's presence, what Jesus did on the cross goes to waste. The other thing that's interesting is this remark coming from one of the guys at the table. And he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And this is a strange remark. It wasn't necessarily applicable to what Jesus said, but I think the guy was getting uncomfortable. Jesus started talking about the poor and the cripple and the blind. And this guy was sitting there, who cares about them? Look at us. We're sitting here having a meal and we're the hoi polloi of the society. We are the in-group. And we are with the leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel. And he was maybe thinking even, maybe Jesus is the Messiah. They were contemplating that. And maybe the kingdom has already come. He might have thought, this feast is already it. We're in. We're part of this. And he was raising his cup and saying, blessed are those who are eating bread. But then Jesus tells the story that, hold on, guys who've been invited actually missed the whole plot. Guys who had prepared. And we'll look at that why. So to understand this request, this invitation, and I try to compare it with something, but my mind was not big enough to think of a good enough example. But if you, there's some golfers in this room, and if you think of the Masters series, they play there in Augusta, and the Masters is one of the top, if not the top, golf contest in the world. And if you think, you get to play there by invitation. And now, this is not only the Masters, this is the Masters of Masters. And the guy who wins here, he's the best golfer in the world forever. This is the impact of the invitation that went out with this banquet, this feast, this coming of Christ. Come, be part. My question to you is, we have to make this personal. Have you received an invitation from God? Maybe we can see. Let's see hands. Have you seen an invitation of God? Come in my presence. Come and enjoy good things. Come and be encouraged. Anybody here ever received an invitation like that? There's a lot. Some may not be sure. Some says, no, I have not. That's all right. Today, God is giving an invitation. Just like that. We will get to that. Get excited. That was the request. Let's look at the rejection. Now, as the second invitation go out, all these lame excuses start coming in. So, I've got a field that I want to see it. I've got oxen. I've got a wife. And it's very offensive almost, very disappointing. It's like the guy saying, you know what, I bought a car and I still have to go and test drive it. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? And the other guy says, yeah, you know what, I really want to come to your wedding, but yeah, my girlfriend wants to go shopping, so yeah, I'm gonna go shopping with it. The excuses did not make sense. It was insulting. Rather just say, sorry, I can't come, than give that. Doesn't make sense. You see, they were building their own kingdom. What they were busy with was things that they were doing for them. I bought a field. I got an oxen. I got a wife. And nothing of that is evil or wrong. But if we look at priorities, really, in the bigger scope of things, that is not something to go and do when you've already said, I'm coming to this feast. You see, the event did not fit in with their earthly plans and their life and their schedule they had for them. Jesus was completely unorthodox with the way that he was leading and serving people and hanging out with the blind and the misfits and the people that did not have real value for the Jewish community. And they hated that. For them, they could see no worldly gain of possessions or of power or of honor. In fact, it was the opposite. By answering this call, they would have to lay down their life, their own money, their own honor, their own power. They would have to become like Jesus to join his kingdom. And it didn't make sense. They had good plans of how they're going to rule this nation of Israel. And the biggest thing maybe of all is they had to admit that they fall short and they need help. They had to say, I cannot work my way, obey the law, be good man, and fulfill it, and be accepted, and be good enough. Self-righteousness, it failed. And that was a killer for them. They had to put down their personal pride. Now, I believe this rejection was not easy. And we know that Jesus had a bitter cup that he had to drink. You know, when he was hanging at the cross, he even said, forgive them, Father, they do not know what they're doing. It hurt. If we think of rejection, it's one of the biggest fears in this world, is the fear of rejection. And if you're like me, if you were a live young man in these school days, you would notice girls in the class. And you would even notice one particular one that draw your attention, and you would start maybe remembering she's in your English class every day. She's sitting up at that seat, and you would stare at the back of her head for the whole lesson. And this is just hypothetically. And you would think you've got this thing going, right? Because every English class, there she is. Yeah, she showed up. And you might feel there's a little bit more than just classmates there. And one day you gather up enough courage and strength, and you actually go and try and talk with her. And then ask her maybe to have a sandwich with you at break, or buy her a Coke at the tuck shop. And she says, you know what, not interested, but it's not you, it's me. Has anybody heard that? That's okay. We've all felt rejection. We've all felt that rejection. And the funny thing about it, it's not you, it's me, it's a lie. It is you. I don't like you. You stink, or you look funny, or you're not as athletic or smart or whatever. And that's exactly what they were saying to Jesus. It's not you, it's me. I've got stuff going on, and I want to build this and do that and make my name for myself. But it actually, no, you offend me, Jesus. How dare you tell me to lay down my life? I reject God every day with lame, prideful, selfish excuses. And I think some of you could agree with me. Even in my thoughts, I would say, I know, God, that you're my great provider, but I choose to worry about my finances. I know, God, that you love me and you died for me, but I choose to feel worthless and self-pitied. I know, God, you forgave my sin, but I choose to feel ashamed of my failures. With these rejection and lame excuses, we're missing the whole point. That was the rejection. Let's look at replacement. So here's the scandalous reversal that comes in. And what the master of the house says immediately, go and find the blind and the cripple and the poor and the lame. It's the misfits of society. It's the guys that should not be of value. Go and bring them in because they are of value. They don't seem worthy. But in their hearts, these guys were ready. In their hearts, it was easier for them to say, yes, Jesus, I need something because my life is not that great. They were ready to accept that request. And even as they were coming in, there was space for more. And he says, go to the highways and the hedges. And we're talking now outside the city, outside of the nation of Israel, and go and get the Gentiles. Guys who I didn't even think of or plan to bring this gospel message to earth. They can be directly getting this information from us. They can come and start spreading the news. And instead of the gospel reaching this whole world through the nation of Israel, this nation that God has planned and kept and saved for this great purpose, this gospel message reaches the world through ordinary men like you and me, sinners, laborers, fishermen, guys that were not prepared to give the message, but their hearts were ready. If you think about, I want to make a ridiculous example. If you think about the Stanley Cup and really crazy, the Oilers make it to the final of the final. Game 7, right? It's the last game. And maybe they're playing the Calgary Flames. That would probably never happen. But let's say we're up against the Flames here. And this whole team, I find it amazing at what ages guys start to teach their kids how to skate and give a stick in their hands and out on the ice and ice time. I mean, the mornings they get up, they come late at night to at home, and there's a massive preparation. And this is all. The epitome of that is maybe reaching the NHL, maybe reaching some finals, maybe winning the cup. And then this is the day of it. Everything's ready. There's thousands of people watching. And then McDavid says, I don't feel like putting my skates on today. You know, I think I'll pass. And the other guy says, well, you know, it's cold on the ice. The cold is just not working for me. I'm done. But there's an event happening. There's been a preparation, a sacrifice. And now what do? The coach runs out and says, you in the street, come. Get in the locker room, put on a jersey, put on skates, and he puts me on the ice. I've never played a hockey game in my life. And here I am playing in the final Stanley Cup. This is how ridiculous, it's scandalous, this reversal has been. The preachers, the spiritual leaders of Israel missed the point completely. God is not going to let the feast go to waste. We know that. If we do not choose to step into the room, step forward into the calling of what God has for us, He will find someone else. I want to ask you, how much are you living in the fullness of life that God has prepared for you? We've had this question at camp a few months ago. Time to maybe think about that again. Have we increased a bit? How much are you living in the fullness of what God has prepared for you? You heard Yolani's testimony this morning, and Yolani's mother, Narina, she got a feeling on her heart. Go see your mom. Go see grandma down in Cape Town. She lives up north in the country, and it means a plane ticket and driving and arrangement. She was just here for a month. She was away from her husband for a long time. She actually just saw her mom as well. And we know grandma has cancer, but you never know what, when, how. And against logic, maybe, and against everybody agreeing, possibly, not sure, she gets a ticket and she goes down. And she arrives there in Cape Town, in Hermanus, Onrus. And there's grandma. Healthy, well, joyful. And they have tea together. And they go out and see things. And a few days later, there's just pain. And they rush to the hospital. And for the last few hours of her life, she could rub her legs and hold her hand and say, you're not alone, grandma. She spent that time with her mom, the last dying moments. What better way to spend than have excuses of finances or schedules, or I planned to watch a TV series, or stepping into the fullness of what God has asked us to do. And us being here, it's tough, because that's the last grandparent. And we want to be there and go through the mourning process with them. But God asked us to be here. And I trust that what we have here is good for us and it's good for you. And we are stepping every day, we try and we don't always get it right. We're stepping into the goodness and the calling of what God has for us. And I know that God loves us and He's with us, and it will work out for the better. So the repercussion, the last point, none of the invitees shall taste my feast. And that's harsh. And you see, to this day, the majority of Jews, they're still waiting for their Messiah. They completely missed it. When we harden our heart to God's invitation, we will miss out on the purpose, why we were created, the purpose of our life. The great news is the parable does not conclude. It's still open. It doesn't end and everybody came in, they had a great feast and happy ending. No, they said there's still more room. So go and compel people to come in. Maybe the worship team could just come up as we're ending. And that is the great news for us today, that it's not over yet. And the banquet is still open invitation. So in conclusion, I want to say God is inviting you to come into His presence and feast. I'm asking you to pause your schedule. Put it on hold for a moment, your everyday routine, the things that you're thinking of this afternoon, for tomorrow morning at work, for Christmas, for family, for planning. Pause for a moment and take one step forward. I'm not asking you to sell your stuff and move to China to be a missionary. I'm asking you to take one step forward into what God is putting on your heart today. Take a step forward into His presence, and He wants to offer you joy. He wants to offer you encouragement. He wants to give you rest and peace. Let's close our eyes. Jesus.